Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
Hey, this week we're talking about wrapping up trusts and wills and what in particular the beneficiary stands to inherit and how that is passed on and the beneficiary's perspective this week. Last couple of shows, we talked about wills and trust and what works and what doesn't, and you're going to continue that discussion this week.
Yeah, so kind of even backing up a little bit further, we talked about settling an estate and what does it mean to walk through that process. And so now that we've settled an estate, we're talking about a distribution is ready to be given out to somebody, and what does it look like from a beneficiary's perspective? So we've talked in past podcasts and radio shows about what does it mean to inherit from a will or from a beneficiary designation or a transfer on death. What does that look like? So you can go back to legacyandfaith.com, and there's past podcasts already there with those discussions. Last week, we talked about what does it mean to inherit from a trust, and we discussed some of the initial parts of a trust, which is, can a beneficiary control their trust? What does it mean to have a trustee involved? And we didn't get overly in-depth concerning the trustee, but now we're going to start looking at the perspective more about how much control or what can a beneficiary do with their finances once they've inherited in a trust? And really, we concentrated on what does it look like if a beneficiary does not have strong financial skill sets? Mm. Or what happens if a beneficiary is a special needs individual and needs stronger boundaries? So what if we flip the script here today and we start talking about beneficiaries that do have financial aptitude, that are very responsible? Because I think most parents, when they start thinking through leaving an estate to their children, or if you don't have children, what does it mean to leave it to other beneficiaries? What does it mean to leave it to charities? Many of us have the belief, or maybe even the hope is a better word, that our beneficiaries are going to be very responsible with that money, that they're not going to blow it. Now, unfortunately, statistics tell me that that many beneficiaries will not be financially responsible. So we've talked about that a little bit. Let's get into the one that actually is responsible. And so what are some of the benefits that leaving money in a trust can give to a responsible beneficiary? What does it look like as far as them having control or them being able to utilize their inheritance as they desire? So let's pick up with that thought process from there.
Okay, well, let's say, first of all, my question would be, let's say a lot of the estate was in 401ks and these kinds of things. What happens first? They can't leave that in the deceased person's name. It has to be put somewhere, right?
Yeah,
and actually,
absolutely.
Those things are not in the trust. I think you said.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So when we do planning with a trust, and all a trust is a holding container, we put your assets in it. So that way, anything that is inside the trust, the instructions attach, and that's a good thing. So a trust needs to be fully funded. In other words, assets realigned and integrated to the plan in totality. That's actually one of the places where many other attorneys don't follow through with creating trusts. They don't do a good job in assisting a client to get their assets realigned. So step one is that most assets, except for IRAs is the big one, we want to put into the trust. That's the general rule.
So the house would be in the trust.
Yeah, so a house would be in a trust, mm-hmm. a vacation property, a rental property, mm-hmm. your LLC interest, life insurance policies, checking accounts. That seems to be something that is often missed. Investment accounts. So these need to be retitled. So instead of it being in Paul and Mariana Grant's name, it goes to the Grant Family Trust. And by retitling it to the trust, now the instructions of that trust attach to that asset. That's important for two reasons, because we may experience a health issue and we may need someone else to step in as a successor trustee, manage our assets during our lifetime. So we want the instructions that we've left in the trust to be given to that individual so they know with confidence how to utilize our money in a way that we desire for it to be used in caring for us. So that's step one. And then if we pass away, unfortunately, it's not an if clause, it's a when clause. Mm. So when it's our turn to see Jesus face to face, then we know that there is a high likelihood when things are in the trust that we avoid probate. That's a good thing. We know that the tax ramifications are held in the trust and they attach to the assets. So that's a good thing that we have proper tax strategies in the trust. And then we give each individual beneficiary specific needs or specific instructions. Someone may need, like we opened up the show, more specific instructions. Others may say that they're very responsible. So now back to your question. So again, just a very brief overview so that we can answer the IRA question.
Because besides the house, that's probably where most of the money is.
Yeah, that's right. Many people have a large portion of their future tied up in IRAs. Now, that can also include 401ks, 403bs. That can include Roth IRAs. So anything that is tax deferred is the retirement structure. Okay, so that's what we mean by this. Number one, please don't ever take anything from this radio show and start doing it without proper legal advice. You need to make sure that your plan is going to accommodate anything that is talked about. This is an educational show. This is not legal advice. So most trusts, unfortunately, should not hold retirement assets. They should not hold IRAs, Roth accounts. They should not hold 403bs.
I thought they can't.
Okay. So, good. During your lifetime, we do not readjust them to your trust. Mm-hmm. Thank you. My brain skipped ahead. Mm-hmm. So, you are accurate that we leave it in the name of the client because tax law says that it must be in their name in order to continue to receive the tax-deferred status. So, that's step number one. So, we do not move anything from a client to the trust when it is an IRA or a tax-deferred account. If we did, it would be as though it was a distribution causing an immediate tax, right. Income tax for everything that was transferred. That would be a bad day. So number one, when we're developing a trust, we leave it in the name of the owner, okay, so the contributor. Now, at passing, there's one of two things we can do is that we use the beneficiary designations, the transfer on death, and it goes directly to a beneficiary. It goes directly to their hands. Or we say that the trust is the beneficiary. Oh, so we have one of two options. Okay. Now, in my system, we direct them back to the trust because, but not every trust is created equal. So therefore, that's why I mentioned, please don't take these general discussions and start maneuvering your estate. Give us a call. Let's talk about this. Get back to your attorney that created the plan and make sure that your plan would be able to hold an IRA. Most trusts do not have the proper tax language that if an IRA came to the trust, we would actually have to distribute it to avoid heavy taxation. However, some trusts are created properly so that it can hold an IRA. So why would that be a benefit? It would be a benefit because all the instructions for each beneficiary would attach to that IRA at death. And that's, again, what we want. We want these instructions to attach so that the beneficiary has proper protections, proper tax language. And then if a beneficiary needs assistance, so let's say that we had a beneficiary where we had monthly distributions because that was in their best interest, instead of saying, oh, you can just have anything you want. If we gave an IRA directly to a beneficiary, well, that would sidestep the monthly distribution clause, and therefore it's outside of the trust, and that beneficiary then would potentially cash it. If they were on governmental assistance programs, it would disqualify them. There's many ramifications of why that could not be in their best benefit. So directing it back to a trust ensures that the instructions that you've worked very hard on with your estate planning attorney will actually be realized for the benefit of the beneficiary. So therefore, in my system, we redirect IRAs back to the trust. But that's because the trust is developed properly so that it can hold an IRA without immediate tax consequences. It would be the same as if we did distribute it to a beneficiary. However, we get protections. What do I mean by protections? Remember, if we use a trust and it's properly designed, so again, I'm always going to come back to that. It has to be properly designed. Then if your child, if your beneficiary is going through a divorce, the walking away spouse is not going to be able to receive anything of the inheritance. If they take a corner too fast in a wet Northwest morning, then and boom, they hit somebody. That's a bad day. But the inheritance, when it's left in trust and it's protected, that creditor will not be able to attack it. It'll stay preserved for your beneficiary's purposes. So there are benefits to holding something in trust. And yes, when we have a responsible beneficiary, then it's really that invaluable shield that goes around a trust, and it becomes creditor protected. It's not infallible. Everything has weaknesses. Everything can be pushed through, specifically when it's not administered properly. So a trust, when it's received by the beneficiary, it has to be administered properly. The guidelines have to be followed. If guidelines are not followed, then the law looks at it and goes, oh, really, the beneficiary's been doing anything they want, so it's their money. Now the beneficiary goes through that divorce. Now the beneficiary ends up in that car accident. Now the beneficiary's business goes through the tank because some other worldwide illness hits us or whatever the case may be, and their business fails, so they need to go through bankruptcy. If they haven't followed and administrated a trust properly, then the creditors that may be waiting in the background have strong legal arguments that the trust should be ignored. But when the trust is administered properly, then it favors the beneficiary that those protections will stand up. So nothing in law is infallible. It is simply that we have to work with the trust in the proper way. And so this is a very, very valuable asset then to a beneficiary, specifically when they are a responsible beneficiary. So I've talked about this before, but if I could take a magic wand right now and wave it up in the air. I know I'm not supposed to talk about magic as a Christian, but too bad. So now, like the Disney fairy godmother, she says whatever she's going to say, and boom, there is now a shield around every asset that you own that gives you a security that if something goes wrong, not that we want anything to go wrong, but we understand that we live in a fallen, unpredictable world. So something goes wrong in our life, and now every asset that you own is protected. Would that be a valuable resource? Would that be a valuable thing that you would say, I would want that? And almost every person that I ever talk to says, yes, if I could shield my assets with some certainty, I would want that for my own life. Well, that's what we can do with proper estate planning. And when we have a responsible beneficiary, how much stronger is that shield? Because they will follow the administrative process. They will save the money, and it will be passed generationally in a protected entity. It's a very, very strong, strong protection that benefits the responsible child.
Okay, talking about the beneficiary's perspective in estate planning and closing an estate and passing along money, we will continue this discussion here in just a few moments. If you're intrigued by Paul's approach to this subject, want to find out more, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's upcoming educational opportunities, past podcasts like I've already mentioned, and ways to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, this week on the Legacy and Faith Show, talking about beneficiaries. The estate is in a state of transition as the primary person has passed, and now they've left behind a wonderful trust or will that Paul has hopefully put together for them.
Yeah, that's right. Come on in,
and
it's
some
better.
Tips on for that beneficiary to benefit from this this arrangement. And we talked about how the trust will protect those assets, but what about how to access them now as a beneficiary? What do
yes.
we do?
Yeah, good. So now we have talked about that there's a strong shield, and this is one of the primary reasons that specifically when we have a responsible individual, a responsible child, that we want to leave things in trust because that shield then protects them. And that's a benefit. But what if they want to use something? So, okay, we left blank many dollars to a beneficiary. Let's say $500,000 just for fun. And they're responsible. So that means that they're investing it. They're following the administrative process so that the shield remains in place and they feel great. Now they go, gosh, I really want to remodel my kitchen, or I want to buy a second rental property because the rental market is good. Or I want to take a vacation and I don't want to use my personal finances. So what does it mean for a beneficiary to go ahead and reach into that trust, and do they have the right to do so? Well, number one, everything depends on how you structured the trust. So if we have a very responsible beneficiary, we may have left a trust that in my vernacular, we call it a liberal trust. So in other words, there's no boundaries on this money. It says, be liberal in distributing to the beneficiary for their needs and their wants. Okay, so their needs can be taken care of, but also their wants. So their wants would be a new kitchen. Their wants would be, I want to take a cruise. Their wants would be, I want to reinvest it into a rental. Great. So let's talk about that. When it is a liberal trust, and then the beneficiary has a lot of say in this. So number one, the beneficiary does all of the investing. There is no one else to tell the beneficiary how to invest their inheritance. So they can work with a financial advisor. Their financial advisor would give them wisdom, but even a financial advisor doesn't tell them what to do. A financial advisor only gives wisdom, and then the beneficiary or the one who owns that account must say yes, do that. And so therefore, they can use a financial advisor. They can invest it on their own. They can invest it in the stock market. They can invest it in cryptocurrency. They can invest it in rental homes. And so there's a wide, wide discretion given to the beneficiary to say, you take care of your inheritance and you invest it in a way that you see fit. In a manner that you see fit.
What about multiple beneficiaries? You're talking about the chosen responsible beneficiary. What about multiple beneficiaries?
Well, typically, I would only set up trusts for multiple beneficiaries. So,
three kids.
Okay, so three kids. Great. So three kids. If there is no business in that, if there is no family property, like a lakeside property that they're trying to hold in the family for everyone's use. So typically, we would take the estate and divide it into three, and each of the children would receive their own trust.
Okay.
So we divide the money. They each get their own portion to manage. And that way, if one beneficiary has some immediate needs, it doesn't harm the other beneficiaries, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would wear down their portion of the estate without being connected to another sibling or to another beneficiary. So the starting point is that each person has their own individual trust share.
Mm.
Now, over that individual trust share, the beneficiary has a lot of control and power because they're responsible and that's what we want. So therefore, we give them that power. We give them the keys to the car and they can do their own investing like I was talking about. Now, let's talk about that rental home. I'm going to take just a quick diversion, which is if I was still assisting that beneficiary, my voice would be, hey, don't take the money out of the trust. You have the power to take the trust money and invest that as you see fit, but in the name of the trust. So if I had an inherited trust, maybe it would be entitled the Paul Grant Inherited Trust. So let's just call it that for easiness. And I go, oh, the housing market went down by 10, 15% here in the past year with interest rates rising and inflation going crazy and everything else. So now I go, this could be a good time to buy a rental for my long-term financial future. So I get some income, I get appreciation over many years, could be great. So I decide I'm going to use my inherited trust. Well, instead of me taking the money out of the inherited trust and putting it into my personal bank account and then buying the home in my personal name, I can purchase that piece of property in the Paul Grant Inherited Trust.
Hmm.
And so now the trust is still the owner, so that if I'm divorced, if I'm in that bad car accident, if the market continues to go down and I have to claim bankruptcy, if I have a catastrophic health issue, whatever may go wrong, I hope nothing goes wrong, but I don't want to lean on hope. I want the security of a strong plan. And so now that investment, now we're just calling it, instead of stocks, we're calling it a rental home. That is still in the name of the trust. So I get my boundaries of protection, and yet the income is coming to my trust, and I have a lot of flexibility. So I might say, I want that income to be siphoned off and given to me each month so that I can personally benefit from it. Not a problem. Not a problem, because the trust would then allow a distribution. Why? Because we created one that is liberal. So we're talking about a liberal trust share. In other words, you have a responsible beneficiary, or the client says, I really object to any type of boundaries around my beneficiaries at all. Even if I have one that is not financially trained, or they may be a little more of a spendthrift, I still don't want to put anything around them. Fine, no problem.
Is the executor still have a role in all this going forward, managing this trust then in perpetuity? Or
Great question. So the answer is no, because if we can think of one trust, the executor, now called a successor trustee, mm-hmm. when we use a trust,
they don't want to mess with this for the rest of
no,
life.
No, they do not. It was the responsible child anyways who now was wondering, man, why was I ever responsible to get this flung around my neck?
Mm-hmm.
But so no, we close the initial trust And like I said, we break that into three different trusts. When it goes down into the three separate trusts, because your scenario was this client had three children, then each trust takes on a new life of its own. Mm. And so it's separated from the closing process and from the initial trustee. So that you're right, that initial trustee is responsible for closing it. That initial trustee is responsible for gathering all the assets and paying all the last bills, paying off the credit card, selling the home and turning it into cash. But then when we run down that process, at some point we go, okay, we're ready to distribute. It's just that instead of writing a check to someone's hands, we're going to distribute it to a trust. Mm. So that trust then is now the recipient, and the beneficiary can use that trust, specifically when it's a liberal trust, as they desire. So can a beneficiary come and say, I want to use $10,000 to go on a cruise? Absolutely. Can a beneficiary say, I'm also going to take my wife because I like going to places with my wife, and I'm going to pay for her ticket? Is that possible? Yes, absolutely. Can the trust pay for a bigger truck with bigger wheels? Absolutely, because it's liberal, and the trust says they can use it for what they want. So we hope and we envision that they're going to be responsible. So many clients choose and elect to say, I'm going to leave a liberal trust so that they have a lot of flexibility. They have investment capability. They can get at their money anytime that they want. And so, no, we have not ruled them from the grave, but rather we have given them a protection in both law and in taxes. Now, I haven't gotten to the taxes, so guess what our next show is going to be about?
There you go.
It's going to be about taxes.
More as we talk about the benefits to the beneficiary of a trust, a living will, and a very interesting discussion. This can be set up with the help of Paul Grant. He loves to help people with their estate planning. And how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and join us next week for a lot of taxes.
Paul Grant and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.